What's up, guys, and welcome to Truth with Tara. Today, I've got my little unicorn back.
Hello. It's great to be back. Hello.
It's great to have you back. Angelica, for those of you who don't know, was the runner-up in her season of America's Got Talent. I coached her through that season. It was such a joy. It was actually my introduction to knowing of Angelica then, right at the beginning. And then she is the only contestant, I think still to this day, who's gotten two golden buzzers.
Yes.
She was re-invited back to AGT Champions and performed on that. Mm-hmm. And who knows what the future holds for Angelica and reality TV, but I have a feeling that there will be many more opportunities for her little light to shine. So I wanted to bring her on today to talk about the AGT experience, the behind the scenes that no one really knows about, your experience growing up with being a little girl with a big voice, right? Mm-hmm. And just kind of giving our audience who knows and loves you and those who know me as a coach a little bit of your perspective of your experience as a singer, and maybe tell us some things that went on that we might not know. First of all, Angelica, you have had a lot of health issues in your little young life.
I know.
You're 15 now?
Yes.
Yeah, so tell us about, I think your mom gave you a kidney.
Yes.
And there's this whole dramatic story about Angelica, like, even being here with us today. So not only is she an overcomer in vocal competition, but she's actually a living, breathing miracle. Tell us about what you struggled with health-wise.
When I was 4 years old, I had double pneumonia, and I went through septic shock.
Oh,
so that led to kidney failure, and I had to be in a coma for like 12 days. I was on ECMO life support.
Wow.
And for those of you who do know what that is, it's basically the end all be all?
It's like the jaws of life, basically.
Literally.
It is the hand of God on earth, essentially. It's the last resort to keep you alive.
Exactly. So I was on that for a solid 12 days and I was in a coma. So then after that, I had a lot of organ complications. Eventually, I had kidney failure. So I needed a kidney transplant, and my mom, thankfully, she was a match and she gave me her kidney. And that's literally why I'm here today. And thanks to all the doctors and nurses who helped me and fought for my life. I got into a lot of charity work after being in the hospital, and because I'm surprised I was still able to sing, because I was intubated in the hospital, and that actually today left some scarring on my vocal cords.
Yes,
which is interesting.
That's right.
So I did a lot of charity work. I traveled across the country doing stuff for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and then eventually, you know, of course I love doing all that, but I was thinking, you know, I want something bigger. Ever since I was little, I've always had this dream of being on stage, being on TV, you know?
Yeah.
Being in the spotlight. So AGT was, you know, I always watched AGT when I was younger.
Really?
Right? Yeah, yeah. And okay. I had watched the season previously with Grace VanderWaal, and it was so fun. Yeah,
okay.
It was so fun. I was like, it was just so surreal, and I've always wondered what it was like to be in that position. Funny thing is, people don't know this, I auditioned 2 times.
Really?
Yeah, so you don't specifically go and audition on the stage. It's not their first time seeing you. I mean, it's the first time the judges are seeing you, but there's executive producers behind the scenes who are deciding, okay, like, it's kind of like there's multiple layers to it, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I auditioned in Atlanta first, and then I didn't make it that year.
How old were you then?
I was, I think, 8 years old.
Oh my gosh, so
I
little.
I know. And then I auditioned again, and this time we drove to Charleston. And
now, why not in Atlanta? They didn't.
No,
go
they
back.
Didn't. No, they didn't have it in Atlanta.
That was the closest city.
Yeah, so that was the closest
makes
city
sense.
We're doing it. So they actually invited me back. They emailed me. They were like, "Hey, you should audition again this
was it
year."
The next year?
It was the next
You're
year.
You're 9. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Gosh.
So
nine.
I know. I
you were
got,
so
and
little.
I just found out that I was getting a little sister, which is crazy. So many emotions, like finding out I was going on AGT, and I'm finding out. And so it was a surreal experience when I found out that I was actually going to be on the show. Months of preparation went into that. It's something that, like, you prepare so much, you put in so much effort and time, and it's something that, like, literally being on that stage is a max of, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
a
insane.
Do or die, make or break.
I know, yeah. And that's why you gotta make it. That's why you gotta put so much time and effort to make it perfect.
Right.
Right, and it's never gonna be perfect.
Right.
But you gotta make it good.
You gotta make it good,
girl. You
gotta
make it good.
Now, to be clear, I didn't know Angelica when she had her Charleston audition. She got that all on her own.
Yeah.
But I believe it was after that that your parents reached out to me.
Yeah, so the judge cuts is when we started prepping and we started doing more of that powerhouse stuff for Girl on Fire.
Yes,
and oh my gosh,
right.
I literally, so on my TikTok For You page, I get like so many I don't know how. I don't even like the videos. Like, click the like button. And I watched my Girl on Fire video, and oh my gosh, it's so insane. I had such like good pitch. Now listen. That's not something. That's not like, okay, yeah, I have good pitch now, but it's like it came so naturally to me back then.
So my impression of you, Angelica's, by the way, her parents are very real with her, and they expect a lot of her. And so Angelica has this bent to be really hard on herself, okay? And I'm really hard on my students, but I tend to actually find that the things I say to you more often than not is like, you're enough, you're doing great, because she's the one to like be so critical, right? And I think that's a blessing and a curse. But my impression of you when you first came at this time, I just had a child. I was coaching from my home only. Like I was only taking students by request, a very select few. And her mom was not to be deterred. She's like, no, my daughter just got on AGT. We need to see Tara. We won't take any other coach. I don't care if it's from her home. So they came to my house, and I remember seeing this little teeny thing with this big old mouth and this big old voice singing Girl on Fire. And it was almost like your voice was almost too big for your body. So big for your body. And your pitch was great. But I think for me, my impression for you in that moment was, wow, you know, she's got a 0 to 100 thing going on. And I could tell you were trained, like you had a coach before you met with me, but it was very much more like classical or mixy. You were very much in the mix, which is great. But the competitiveness of that show required you to belt, to riff and run, to hit high notes, maybe even to do some like head voice, almost whistle stuff.
Right.
To stand out. And so that's what we immediately set forth in working on. And I just remember being like, I can do anything with this little girl. Like,
I'm so malleable.
Yeah.
Too, right?
But you were so good even then that I was like, there's pretty much nothing that I can't ask of her that I know she won't really try hard to get, which is so fun for a coach, because when you see a singer who has very few limitations, my creative mind of like, oh my gosh, I could design this riff for her. I could have her sing this note, and then all I have to do is demonstrate and she can just do it back. It's so nice. It was so cool, and the sky was the limit. On AGT, the very first time that you performed on the stage at nine, oh my goodness, with all of those people, what was going through your head?
I remember specifically, like, if I'm thinking right now and I'm like putting myself back in those shoes, I was, oh my God, everything was a blur. I was small. Everyone was tall to me. And the stage was even bigger than I could have imagined. And just like, oh my God, the judges were so far away. And I was like, I just felt so small on that stage. I really just remembered I had been preparing like months into this. Mm-hmm. I was really determined. I was like, you know what? You're going to, this is your time to shine. This is what you put so much time into, and this is, nothing's going to get you down now, right?
That's right.
I really just left it all out on that stage, because honestly, I knew, and my parents were telling me, like, you don't know if you're going into the second round.
I'm right.
Like,
you're singing for your life every time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you say you prepared, I mean, we had like midnight voice lessons. The producers would change her song, remember?
They would.
Last minute. And she'd be like, Miss Tara.
I know you're. Oh my God. Remember for the final round, we went through like 3 songs.
Yes.
We got to symphony. It was like, actually, wait, I want to tell you guys something. So for the final round of AGT, we were actually considering fight song.
Yes, we were.
We weren't, but we did that for AGT Champions instead.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we went with, honestly, I'm actually really happy we went with Symphony, because it was different. A lot of people had done fight song on AGT. I'm going to be quite honest.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. Well, it's so that song.
It is. It's that song.
It
is.
It's such a competition, I'm going to win it kind of song.
Yeah.
But your voice, there was something special about your voice in Symphony. And you know, you could argue, oh, okay, well, maybe you should have done fight song. I mean, you got voted off after you sang Symphony, but I disagree with that, and let me tell you why. Symphony fit you in the context of even that week where like emotionally it fit your voice, and you have to be, no matter what, win, lose, or draw, true to yourself. And and I believe that you were, you know, you were literally competing against a singing ventriloquist. How can you compare? I mean, they're both singing, yes, but like you're minus a prop, big time. I mean,
you know, I think maybe what made me quote unquote on par, if we're going that route, was the fact that I had a larger than normal voice, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, right. 100%. And your story was so compelling. And, you know, you talked about your mom being pregnant. Yes. Like, Eva, I met you when she was carrying Abigail, you know? And I think it's just really special, actually, that you didn't sing a song that you thought would get you through. We chose a song that we knew represented you.
Exactly. And it's so funny because as soon as I heard that song, I knew it was for me. Like, yeah. I would, and the most important thing about a song that you're singing, like on a competition, is that you love the song. Because people can see that. People can see the drive and the passion. And I remember I would be singing this everywhere because I loved it so much. And I was like, dang, this melody, it's like this song was made for me.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to perform it. And another thing, a little behind the scenes fact, if you guys noticed for the live shows, I had a lot of really cool, like there was a reoccurring theme, right? When I went on the live shows and I did the quarterfinals, they had this big mirror contraption on stage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that was kind of like the reoccurring theme. They did that for the semifinals. And then for the finals, what they were going to do was they were going to put me in the air. Right?
Oh, right.
You remember that?
I remember you being so scared. I'm like, I want to fly in the air. Tell them to put me up there.
No, I know. I was excited at the prospect.
Right.
But then when I went on there, I was shaking like, and I could barely make out the notes. And they were like, this is not very fun to watch.
No.
This looks like really sad to watch. So they didn't have time to make another like big extravagant set.
Right.
So I was just there on the stage. It was just me. And maybe that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the simplicity is what. Also, the violins were so perfect.
It's true. They were. I'm not going to lie. I really did want to see you fly. But I feel like the harness the harness wasn't even too big for you. Like, you were so small. Everything about it was just like, you did. I mean, look. To command a stage of that magnitude and size that Angelica did at 9, she's 15 now, and she's still teeny. But imagine, like, a teeny girl on that. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you really should just look up on YouTube, Angelica Hale AGT, and watch the footage. I even reacted to it if you want to watch it in the context of my channel. But it really is something to watch. Such an itty-bitty thing, as tiny as you were, and as simple as that last performance, just command the attention of that audience. And I was so proud of you in that moment. You did. I remember, you know, we have a singer stance at TSS, and I remember on the symphony, you took those two little feet and you bared down. You're like, and I was just like, that's my baby.
No, like I always, that was like my comfort stance too. Like, like I would always be like, one foot back, one foot forward. You gotta, and then you would just, and I would bend, and I'd always have this little me.
Yes, with your finger. Oh, so cute. Okay, so Angelica, after AGT, you pretty much traveled the world until COVID hit. All sorts. I mean, you met with David Foster. You did a lot of high-profile gigs all over the world.
Yes, here.
Got some serious frequent flyer miles out of it.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Tell me about how it was then singing for more of like they were still large audience, but like more of an intimate, not competition performance environment where you were being paid to be there.
You know, something that always, so when you're in the competition mindset of AGT, it's like it carries on to your more leisurely performances where you're not competing. And so
hard to turn it off.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So when I was little, I was, like I said, I had a very malleable brain, right? So I was kind of, I think, like looking back, I was still very in that zone. Like, I always had to be like, okay, you have to reach the same level you were when you were on AGT. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Like, singers put out songs, and they, because it's different. It's different when you're preparing months, weeks into something, and versus when you have to travel, like, next day, you have to go to New York, and then, like, a week later, you have to go to freaking Canada.
Right.
And it's like, you have to know your limits. And when I was little, I didn't think I had any, right? Until I got into, like, really performing, and then I always had, I was like you said, I was always very hard on myself.
Yes.
And that was
still
very hard on myself. And that's something I'm working on.
Yeah.
But I learned the hard way. I definitely did. I've had my fair share of performances that I wasn't very happy with at all, and where I just didn't meet my expectations, or I think really just like bring what I wanted to the table. And that's what you got to know. You're going to have your bad days. You're going to have fair share of mess ups.
Yeah.
But you always got to learn from them. If you don't learn from them, then
I like, okay, so I love you for so many reasons, but one of the reasons is because you're so willing to be honest and vulnerable and authentic to people listening. Because like, it's really easy to see a come up, and it's really easy to stay within that realm of success on your end as far as conversation is concerned. And they're like, oh, I've done this, but you know, just even recently, Angelica, I know you won't mind talking about this, but we were training Angelica for an audition for a new Broadway musical coming up that she had already been a part of the table read for. Now, I will say that, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I did mention to Angelica how she should take dance lessons.
Oh, goodness. Here we go.
Whew. I love you. But she, because she's an amazing singer, right? But when you talk about Broadway, right, it goes like this. If you're a singer, you go to the singing audition and then the callback is usually dance. And that's where the dancers eat you alive. And I'm like, if you want to do Broadway at some point, honey, you got to take dance lessons. Well, I love you.
Okay.
But recently, she made it, obviously. She'd done the table read. They loved her voice. But
let's just say that you
what
always...
happened? Tell
you're
us.
You're so mean. You're so mean. Oh my God. So what? Okay. Let's just say, in short, you have to, you can't just be like, okay, you can't just prepare like a week in advance and expect to be good. Like, no, that's not how it works.
It's not.
And I know that all too well. Right.
In other words,
Miss Tara was right. Miss Tara was always right. Okay.
In other words, we're going to be taking dance because she probably could have gotten that part, right? Had she been able to get through the dance. Because look, the counts of eights are super fast when you're in a Broadway audition. And that's the problem. It's not that Angelica's not coordinated, but the speed of learning those counts of eight is extremely competitive. And that's where dancers or singers who dance have that edge. So, so there are moments like that where... And we joke, but these are things that we want you guys to know as listeners. Like, if you excel at something, great. Continue to work that. But also work on the things in that sphere, not just it, but the left of center of it. Like the of dance, course. Like the acting,
exactly.
the writing.
If you're going to be an actor, learn to sing, learn to dance. If you're going to be a dancer, learn to sing, learn to act. It's you gotta have those. You gotta be a triple threat.
Yeah, and
you gotta be at least
quadruple.
Decent.
Yeah, you can song right now. You can produce. There's so many other things that you could also be
Everything
doing.
Everything is interconnected.
It's true. Yeah. And at 15 already, Angelica plays piano. Mm-hmm. She writes. She sings. She actually even records some of her own covers at her own home studio. So there's a technical aspect involved that she's learning, which I'm super proud of.
Check out my channel.
Yes. And by the way, if you're not subscribed to Angelica's YouTube channel, as an aside, please check her out and follow her on all platforms. By supporting her, you're supporting me too. So if you love me, do it. Thank you. So Angelica, what would be, speaking of like vulnerability, what are like one or two of your biggest fears as a vocalist, as a 15-year-old who is trying to make a come up in this really difficult industry?
Some of my biggest fears, honestly, which have retained still today, still some of my original fears when I was younger, is of course not meeting my expectations of myself. Because I hold myself to a very high standard, which can either be very good or very bad or a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Another big fear that's more, let's say, general is just failing. At anything, really.
Wow.
Failing to meet others' expectations, even. Because all I really want, and all I truly wanted when I was little, and I would fight and do anything to be that, is to just, like, to be the best. To be the epitome of perfect technique, perfect voice. And I say it now. I say these things, but even now I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to, like, engrave that in my brain. It's really not as easy as people think it is. And it's not like, oh, I gotta be comfortable with messing up. No. Well, yes, you gotta be comfortable with messing up, but you also need to learn from your mistakes.
Yes.
And you need to, like, okay, you can't let it get you so down that you don't improve, right? Right, that you just simply get worse from then on. It's all downhill.
Right.
You got to take the fall, and then you got to pick yourself up
and be better
than you were before.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you've always had, to me, such a wonderful attitude. You've shown such resilience. I mean, you've struggled with kind of like allergies, acid reflux, the coughing.
No, I feel like the world is out to get me right now. It's insane.
You do get sick a lot. Like,
I do.
It is kind of like your kryptonite as a singer, as was mine when I was your age. I had terrible allergies. I had sinus surgery, asthma, nebula, the whole.
How did you do it?
I think it's just a lot of singers. It's their kryptonite. I don't know why, but it's something. I think it might be
because like that's like the thing that you need the most. Your voice is your instrument, and it's like amplified. Like maybe you got sick all the time when you're little, but you never thought about it. But now that it's like
now you're using it.
Now that you're actually like using exactly.
Yeah, vocal health and vocal hygiene is a huge thing. And actually, that's something interesting to talk about because you have pretty good vocal hygiene, and I see all the accoutrements and
oh my god, you should have seen the bag I brought with me today. Yeah. It was like a huge duffel bag.
Looking at it right now, actually. Yeah. So why don't you tell our audience members, like, what on a daily basis do you do to keep your voice healthy?
Oh, for sure. So one thing that I always, it's a staple, of course, and a lot of singers know it, it's tea, right? Mm-hmm. It clears a lot of your mucus, and it's just perfect for, like, it wakes me up in the morning, mm-hmm. right? Another thing that I like to use is, like, vocal sprays, as well as water. If you don't like tea, if you don't like sprays, if you think that's nasty, grow up. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Drink water. Yeah. Drink water, which water is a huge staple, and it's very important.
Probably the most, I'd say the most important. It's boring. Yeah. It's like an easy answer, but water for sure.
And then something that I'm trying to practice because I have like a little cough right now. I keep forgetting, not really forgetting, but just like not doing my vocal exercises every day. Shame on me. Shame on me. I got to take the fall. It's like this. If you want to maintain the way your voice is and continue to get better, you have to practice every day.
Yeah.
And that's something that even I struggle with. Like, I don't know. It's like time is different in my mind. It's like the day runs so fast. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start my homework at 9:00. And then suddenly it's like 4:00. And I'm like, I only got 2 things done. What happened?
You were like, scrolling. That's what happened.
Oh my God. That's what my mom says.
It's probably the truth. I had Angelica when we were training for AGT because I knew they were going to have her move a lot. I had her every day do her exercises on a treadmill.
Which I want to start doing again, which is so useful. It's so good for stamina too. It's like when you're on stage, your adrenaline is going to... You're going to be like...
Yeah, you do need to learn how to sing through that. It is a breathlessness. The heart pounds. It's very similar to any kind of sporty cardiovascular activity. So, Angelica, you're 15. By 18, what do you hope to have accomplished? Like, these are not have-tos, but these are just, like, big, hairy, audacious goals. If nothing was in your way, like, what would you love to have said, I've done this by 18?
Well, thank you for asking, because I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
Good.
Actually, that's a question that always terrified me when I was younger, because I'm like, I don't know what the future holds. It still feels like, and it felt like, I was fighting every day for time and more time. It's just like time is always slipping away from me, and I just don't know what's going to come next. More recently, I've been, you know, like, I'm literally going into junior year this year, which is crazy. I know.
Stop growing now.
I'm trying.
You were so widow when I met you.
I know. I'm still widow.
Please stay widow.
I'm trying. But unfortunately, we can't beat time.
No.
So one thing that I want to do, you know, you mentioned songwriting, and I'm still writing songs. I'm learning a little bit of music theory now, which is very nice.
Yes.
Hard.
It
Jeez.
Is. Well, the advanced stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I want to be able to come out with a full-length album before I'm 17.
Okay, before even 18, a full length. Yeah. So what's full length for you? How many songs?
I noticed that a lot of songs in people's albums, they have a lot of filler songs, which I don't like.
I know.
So I want to have at least, I'd say 10.
Okay.
10 good, 10 solid bangers. Songs. Because I used to write a lot. If you see on my Spotify, you can check. I have some originals that I wrote, I think 4 or 5, which are okay for like someone who wrote them at like 7 and 9, but they're not.
Can you say that again? You have songs on Spotify that you wrote when you were 7 and 9.
Yes.
Can you say that? I mean, that's pretty awesome. Who cares if you think that you could have done better now? Like, that's pretty great.
I mean, just like overlooking the fact that like, okay, yeah, these sound like kid songs, but they're out.
They're out there
and people listen to them.
Yes, yes.
Which is great.
So cool.
Of course, it's not like a reflection of like skill set today or my style. You also got to think, I'm also trying to develop my own artist image. I think that's really important because it can really influence the way you write your songs and the kind of style that you're going for. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited because that's something that I've been striving for since I was like, 13? Mm-hmm. And it's always like, I always get in the way. Like my mind always gets in the way. Like I'm like, there's right writer's block. That's what it is. So when I'm writing my songs, I'm like, I get like a good hook. And I'm like, I like this. And then I'll be like, I don't know what to write for the verse. I write the verse. And then I don't like it. And I'm like, dang, I'm just going to throw everything away. There's no saving it. I know. And it's just like, I think that's
so weird. You're a hook writer.
I'm a hook writer.
You're the same as me. Same girl.
Say, I know. It's so much easier to.
Yeah. So we need to pair you with a lyricist who can write great verses.
Oh, yeah.
So when writing smart like that is important. Knowing your strengths and then transferring your weaknesses to someone else that's their strength is really a huge asset. And I didn't know that you were a hook writer until just now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm also learning to do more chord progressions and starting with that as well.
Nice.
But yeah, don't be afraid to, like, something that I always had a huge pride and ego when I was little. And I still do now, which I'm trying to work on, okay? Don't be afraid to seek help from others and to co-write, too. Because, like, I know, I'm like, oh, you got to write this yourself. Own this and sometimes you need help, sometimes you do, and then maybe later on you can be like, okay, maybe I'll make a side project,
right,
by my own songs in my own time. But you don't have to. That's not a necessity.
Right.
Seek help when you need it.
Well, nothing from nothing is nothing too. And if
I didn't, well, say that again.
Nothing from nothing is nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, so imagine that math. And so if you're like, oh, mine, my precious, my songwriting, nobody touches it but me. Then it's like, okay, well, the song may have been a hit. Like, you may have gotten 50% of, like, millions of dollars from that publishing revenue if you would have been humble enough to write with someone versus, like, mine, you know?
And then
nothing happens with it because it was just sort of okay and not competitive enough to really get that,
exactly,
get that chart, you know, get that charting song status. So.
You know something that someone said to me once, like my acting teacher, he said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Love.
Yeah.
That's so good. What was that person's name?
His name is Eric Lingvon. He's a great acting teacher.
Hi, Eric Lingvon. I loved your quote. You should watch this podcast. Wow. That's true. And they say that about business too, about scaling. Like, you can only go so far as a key man in your business. In order to scale past that, you need a team. You need a good team 100%. Around you. And I think that in the world of artistry, it is no different. So, Angelica, you want to do a full-length album at 17. Tell me, is there anything else that you would like to tell our audience? Advice, something new about you? Give us one other little fun fact or piece of advice, and then we'll let you go because we got many other things to film.
Oh my gosh, yes. Today. If you ever feel like you are alone in your feelings and your thoughts and the way that you go about your life, oh, I'm not good enough this, I'm not good enough that, just know that probably everyone has thought the same way that you do. I can say confidently here, hey, I've been there. Mm. I've done that. And I know exactly. I don't know. No one can ever feel exactly how you feel because that's specific to you. Yeah. But I have the idea of how you feel. And just know that you can always get up from that. You can always rise from the ashes like a phoenix.
Yeah.
As long as your heart is in the right place. And it's not as easy as people say it is. It takes work. Mm-hmm. It takes good mental power.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, not a lot of people have that.
Yeah.
But you can build. You can build it as long as you work towards it.
Spoken like a 50-year-old and a 15-year-old's body. I love you, Angelica. I love your voice, but more so than that, I love your heart. And I've always loved how Angelica always pushes the next person up. She always is encouraging to her fans. And as she goes to achieve her dreams, she's, to me, the personification and embodiment of this little girl with a big voice who also encourages others to let their voice be heard and tell them that their voice matters, which is exactly what Tara Simon Studios stands for. We want you to know that your voice matters. You also, just like Angelica, deserve to be heard. And we're here today to give you a little behind the scenes on our relationship, where we started, where we're going now. This is not the last you'll be hearing of with Angelica and her career. She's just getting started. And we want to encourage you today too, if you're in a place where you're not sure if you have a good voice or if you have what it takes to sing, come see us. We offer free 15-minute assessments. It takes nothing from you. There are no catches. You can register for that in the description box below. And also in that same description box, you can click on any link for Angelica. We'll have them all there. Follow her, support her, stream her music. It's really great. In fact, I actually helped Angelica with her debut album. So if you listen to that, you'll hear somehow me in the background of the harmony mix, as well as I had the privilege of helping her get the vocals down and that. And so there's just so much more to come for Angelica, but yet she's so young and accomplished so much. And I'm so proud of you. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I love you.
I love you more.
Bye guys. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.